So today we've got Beth Munnington with us. So she's the communications director at Journey Further. And if I say so myself, she's an absolute PR pro. She's been really instrumental in growing and leading Journey Further's PR offering. Really excited to have you on today, Beth.
Oh, thank you, Alex. That was a lovely introduction. I'm very excited. I've been listening to your episodes recently and you've had some great guests. So I feel honoured to be here. Thank you for having me on.
It's all right. We're really excited. So really what we wanted to talk about today, I think it'll be really, really interesting to sort of delve into, is the relationship between like brand-led and data-driven PR, and especially why having like a data-driven PR strategy is so integral to brands. So what do you consider to be a data-driven PR strategy?
I think throughout my career, PR, there's been frustrations because I did start off in a more traditional PR role and then very quickly moved into digital, but there's so much overlap. And I think PR can be seen as something that's quite fluffy and hard to measure. But by taking a data-led approach, you can absolutely drive performance. And I think with digital PR, it is a lot easier to measure ROI at least, but I think especially with digital PR, there's so much more to it than just links. So if you take a data-led approach and you're using data sources, so there's brand data, there's customer persona data, there's the business data in understanding, you know, the profitability of products, like the margins on products, so you're understanding from business perspective where you should be focusing your PR efforts. So there's that side of it, as well as, of course, the SEO data, looking at the link gap analysis, looking at how relevant your backlink profile is. But then there's cross-channel data as well. So there's PPC. Mm-hmm. We sometimes find that brands are spending a lot on PPC and they want to improve their organic ranking so they can reduce that media spend. So that insight and data can help with performance as well. And then another way of looking at it is if you know, if you've got the data to inform who your audience is to start with and the content that they're interested in and also where they're absorbing that content, where they're engaging with it, you're then able to create a much more tailored PR strategy. So I don't know if you have heard of programmatic placement reports, but this is actually something that before I started Journey Further, I didn't have a clue what a programmatic data report was. And this is one of the benefits I've found with joining a performance marketing agency because we have so many intelligent analysts. But ultimately, if your client or your brand is running programmatic data, so they're doing display data, you know those adverts that chase you around the internet? So when you run those ad campaigns, you get what's called a placement report. And this is just a list of publications where those adverts have been served and how many impressions that those ads have got. So you can then use that data to see where your brand's in-market audience is visiting after they've been on the website. Mm. You can then see, okay, well, our customers are clearly reading the likes of The Mirror or The Daily Express or House Beautiful. And then you can use that data to then inform where you should be targeting your outreach, because I think now more than ever, it's no longer enough to just go out and build as many links as possible.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about building coverage and links on the publications that your audience is reading. So rather than just, I think with PR, it's quite easy to get carried away and come up with an idea and then just outreach it and not really ask yourself why, because you're just doing it just to build links. Mm. But if you take a data-led approach and you're considering not just SEO, but brand and all the other value that PR can drive, you're then going to drive even more return. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I think interesting because I think when we've spoken like with previous guests and sort of generally, like a lot of people think about how the industry is going to change over the next couple of years and how we're going to have to grow and adapt as PRs. And I think a lot of it is, you know, building loads of links with like a decent DA is great. And that's obviously great from one part of an SEO perspective, but what added value can we have? And it is, you know, building links that get clicked on and building links that are relevant and are going to drive traffic through and making sure that those audiences sync up and that you're going into those sort of relevant publications. So yeah, it really does make sense. I was going to sort of touch as well, on like whole relevancy. Do you find that when you're going out with a campaign, do you always have a set list of, like, I call them dream publications, but where you think this is perfect for the client and also a perfect story for the publication, and then kind of work backwards? Is that like an approach that you take, or how do you kind of get to that point?
So we focus on the relevancy gaps in our clients' backlink profile to start with. So that's our starting point. So we've developed a tool which we've called Salient, and it uses the IBM Watson API, and basically it uses natural language understanding to allow us to bulk upload our client's backlink profile. This script then runs through and it then comes back with the areas that in our client's backlink profile that's sort of missing in relevance. Let's put this in really simple terms. For example, we work with an online bed retailer, and as an example, it might have been that out of all their backlinks, they scored really high for relevancy for children's beds, but then for TV beds or king size beds, there was a lack of relevancy because our tool gives us a score. So then what we do is we then ideate around that relevancy gap, because we've actually found that when we are targeting those relevance, those areas, that actually does then improve ranking. So what we would do is we'd ideate around these search terms or these key opportunity areas, and then we would identify the publications that we think would cover it. We'd potentially speak to some journalists as well to sense check the idea with them. And we'd make sure that our media list targeted to the areas to start with. Then, of course, we'd still open it out and try and gather as much coverage as and links as we can.
Yeah, I feel like that's a really good way to ideate as well, because it when you go into ideation, sometimes it's such a big topic that, you know, there's lots to think about. But at least with this tool, it sort of narrows it down a little bit, so you can create relevant campaigns to fill that gap.
Exactly. And one thing I wanted to discuss with you both and get your opinions on is that I think obviously relevancy is a huge topic at the moment. It's something that I've personally been talking about for a long time, because I used to get frustrated like several years ago when I worked at an agency, and we'd just be, it felt like we were churning out survey stories or we were just churning out content. And deep down, I'd be like, but why? Why are we doing this? It doesn't really make sense. All I know is that we're trying to build links. And actually, I'm pretty sure that there's more we can be doing.
Yeah.
So when I started doing further, that was something I was really passionate about, making sure that we always ask why we're creating that content. But I think relevancy can mean a lot of different things to different people. So relevancy can mean, you know, is my idea relevant to my target audience? Is my idea relevant to what's going on now? You know, we just had Line of Duty come out. There was a lot of PR content around that. Is it topical? Is it relevant to the news agenda? So relevancy from that perspective, and I agree with all of that, and that makes sense. But how we look at relevancy is from the search engine's perspective.
Yeah.
I think Google is, this is what, and this, you guys feel free to disagree as well. I'm interested in getting different industry thoughts. But from our perspective at Journey Further, Google is trying to understand a website as one online entity. So they're trying to make sure they know what that website is all about so they can give the best search results for their users, because, you know, they are the best search engine that we have and they want to maintain that reputation. So we believe that when Google is analyzing all those backlinks, it's not just looking at the links, it's looking at the wider context of that content in the article. So one of the best ways to tell Google what your brand or service is about is to create content around that. So when we talk about relevancy, that's why we actually focus a lot on product led campaigns, because that's one of the best ways to weave in naturally what the brand talks about, what the brand does. So I fully agree that relevancy, everything should be topical, it should be relevant to the audience, But I think it's also important where possible to talk about the brand, but not in a super promotional way, in a way that's interesting, which isn't easy. What do you think to that?
I think there's definitely a lot in that. I think what I found really interesting, just from my like personal experience, was obviously working with different clients and brands like throughout my career so far. There's obviously, when you get to the point of working with them, it's quite rare that they're starting like from scratch. So when I started like Flaming Crab, like my little side business, and obviously that was completely from scratch. We had absolutely nothing in terms of search results or visibility and keywords or anything like that. We had literally no SEO value. And like a week or two after literally creating the site was when we started to push a PR campaign. And I'm no SEO expert. Like I spoke to a lot of my friends that are in SEO that gave me some like great sort of quick fixes in terms of the site structure and stuff like that, and like technical SEO fixes. But from like a link building point of view, the campaigns that did really well, it was product PR really in its finest form. We were sort of selling and promoting like the candles that we were selling as news stories, which therefore meant that we started to rank really quickly for relevant keywords, for topics around candles or the product lines that we were selling. And to me, that was like such a good sort of seeing it with my own eyes, really, like the power of relevancy. Like I have tried to do PR campaigns for Flaming Crab that aren't necessarily related towards like our product focus or anything, that haven't worked as well, and probably I don't think maybe would have had the benefit that like the campaigns we have ran did. But it was really interesting to me to see the jump in such a short amount of time, especially amongst like really competitive keywords and stuff like that, just by staying really, really focused on our offering, really. So I definitely do think that working that way, does have a lot of merit to it, to be honest.
That's so interesting, because we found we worked with a client who hadn't done much SEO at all for years. So we were like a standing start, really. And we identified that it was towels and bedding we needed to focus on. And it was during coronavirus last year, and we just quickly jumped on some cleaning content ideas around how to clean your towels and why it's even more important now with all the hand washing. And it got on the Daily Mail, it was in the Metros, and it got quite a lot of relevant links. But well, no, I say actually a lot, probably got about 8. But the jump in rankings and everything within 2 weeks was amazing. And I think it sometimes doesn't always take months and months for rankings to change, especially as and it might be because there wasn't a lot of activity done previously, like you were coming in new as well. But I think it's because ultimately you're telling Google exactly what you do as a product, and that helps them understand when it comes to the ranking algorithm. I mean, I work very close to their SEO team. I'm not a technical SEO expert, but when you think about it, that does make sense, because Google's trying to read content as if it was a human being, which is why it uses the machine learning and natural language understanding.
Definitely.
I just have a question for what I think you could both probably answer this. When clients come in, they want links. So how would you sell to them that it's about quality, not quantity?
Yeah, so we take them through our, sorry to jump in, Alex, but when we're talking to them, we show them the relevancy analysis, and we show them the case studies, and we show how it's about the quality of links is actually driving, making more of an impact than just going out and building as many as possible. Now, don't get me wrong, links is definitely one of the main attributes that Google places when it comes to rankings. And the better, you know, ideally we get amazing links en masse, and we build as many product links and as many relevant links as we can, but it's not always a quick win. So sometimes being more targeted can take a little longer sometimes, but actually the results do speak for themselves, we have found. So I think it's just by taking them on a bit of an education and showing them the case studies, showing them the analysis, and talking to them about Google's use of machine learning. And I think one of our slogans we tend to use a lot is, it's no longer enough to be popular, you also have to be relevant. We definitely see.
I agree, really. I think as well it often depends. Like I find it really interesting, like working with like a breadth of different companies and clients, that some come into like an agency relationship with a really clear idea of what they want from like a digital PO and SEO point of view. They might have really, really talented in-house like SEO teams and really understand like where they want links built, the reasons why and all that kind of thing, and have a really strong strategy. And sometimes people come to you with very, very little knowledge of digital PR or SEO. They kind of just say, all right, we want links because we know it will be of benefit. And that's when I think it's understanding, like you said, the areas of relevancy, those gaps in potentially like the backlink profiles and their competitors as well, to help sort of formulate what you're going to do. And also kind of understanding them like secondary goals. Like we've mentioned before, it's not enough to just sort of get links these days. It's links that get clicked on. And I always love looking at like the social engagements from like pieces of coverage or stuff that we've got and what's actually driven traffic. Like I remember we ran a couple of months ago, I ran a campaign for a client. We were looking at the healthiest places to sort of live and buy homes around the world. And it did really well from like an international perspective. But the sort of really high DA sites that, you know, you think would be massive benefits to the client, I'm sure they are from an SEO perspective because they are them high authority sites. But if you look at where the traffic was being driven from, and if you look at what the social engagement, it was coming from an international site they'd never been on before. It was a lower DA, but the engagement there was absolutely massive. And to them, and to me, that was really interesting. To them, it was interesting. And sort of that's the kind of thing that I love, like delving a bit deeper into and understanding, and then taking that and thinking about where to target future campaigns as well, and understand, you know, what are the secondary benefits to this client going to be. So yeah, I like to sort of try and get them to understand that as well, and understand that, yes, getting a link on the BBC would be amazing. However, if you get a link on a really relevant regional publication or industry publication that's going to drive your target audience direct to your site, that's also, you know, in some ways better.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. And that's one of the benefits of when I talked about the programmatic placement report, because I've looked before and there's been lots of regional publications up higher than the nationals. And I've had in the past where we've got coverage on a regional piece and someone might have said, oh, well, that's not really that good because it's only got a small DA or it's not got much reach. And I think when you have the data tools to back it up, you can say, well, no, actually, this is where your audience is really engaging with content. So let's not make assumptions. Let's actually use the data and be targeted. And I think I remember we did a really big campaign for Ocean Florida, and it got like 300 links, and it was for a dream job, and it got 64,000 applications, which I was like, do you know what, no matter how much coverage we got on the social media metrics, like that just shows how big this campaign went, because 64,000 people actually applied. And I remember we had one of our biggest referring traffic sources was the Grimsby Telegraph.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting when you dig into these into the metrics. I do really think that's important as well.
One thing I'm really trying to help like sort of people on our team and like new people coming into the industry and into Rise and everything is that developing that ability to ideate and obviously come up with creative ideas and everything. But how do you strike that balance between creating something that is really newsworthy and data driven and also something that is creative and feels outside the box? Because like a lot of what I do personally is the data stuff. So a lot of data ideas are funneled through me, and I work on a lot of our very data heavy kind of clients. But how do you find like the fun creative ideas in something that might be like incredibly niche?
Oh, that is a tough question. I think we just want a client that is B2B and it is quite niche, but we have managed to come up with quite a fun idea behind it. And I guess it's just it's about getting inspiration from different campaigns and different, you know, I love Twitter because you know, you guys are always sharing great inspiration, and there's, you know, as well with digital lockdown, there's always so many great campaigns coming out from lots of different industries. And what I love about our sector is that we are so open and we do share and we are very collaborative, because no idea is necessarily a unique idea. There's always been elements of something else. It's quite rare that something is purely unique. So I would say it's just about really digging in and getting inspiration and making sure that before the brainstorm, you've included stimulus, you've done research. And from the relevancy side of it, we always make sure that we've got the analysis from SEO. And so that's always in the brainstorm. And it's like, these are the key areas we have to make sure that we can pull it back to. Yeah. And that is hard. It's not always easy because you sometimes go off on a bit of a tangent. But I also do encourage people to go and think big and think, you know, outside the box. I hate to say that word, but that phrase. But and then we can always then pull it back and see how we can make sure that it's going to be relevant. And obviously using the other data metrics as well. So understanding, you know, what's their target audience? What are they actually interested in? So yeah, it is a tough one, but I think it's just about making sure you're prepared as possible for a brainstorm and you've actually done your research and you've done some digging. And I think sometimes actually the more niche and the more brands that you think actually sound on the surface, or we won't be able to do a lot for, you end up being able to do more for.
Yeah, more of a challenge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think it's not easy. But it just requires effort. And I keep saying to my team, you know, I think we need to make sure that we're not afraid to spend the time up front. Let's not try and rush an idea out the door because we're trying to meet a deadline. And I think let's make sure when you are planning those bigger pieces of activity, you really put in the time to make sure that idea is nailed. Because it is very fast paced in PR. Yeah. If you really put in the effort and you speak to some journalists and you sense check it and you do your research, has this been done before? Where has it been done? Then hopefully you will be onto a winner.
I was going to say as well, like, it kind of ties on to what we were just talking about, but the relationship between, I suppose, PR teams and SEO teams, I think there's a lot of conversation about how they can be more like synergistic, how they can work better together. And I think it's always interesting. The experience I had before moving into an agency was traditional PR. And I remember it was Lucy, actually, who works for you now. So Lucy Robinson, shout out, literally gave me the biggest SEO crash course ever when I started my first agency job, because my knowledge was minimal, if nothing, really. And obviously doing what we do and understanding why we do it, it has grown and obviously developed. But what would you advise to people maybe coming into the industry or kind of that want to understand the relationship between PR and SEO a little bit better?
Well, I think it's really important that if you're working in an agency and you have SEO and PR teams, that you really are integrated and you're not just saying that to win a pitch. Because when we're in the office, we actually all sit mixed together. And I remember Jess Stanley, one of our alongside Lucy, one of our many fantastic SEOers. And she hadn't, in her experience, previous agency, she hadn't really had that much integration with PR, and she was sat with us. And I remember her saying to me, Beth, I just love it. I just love listening, because you guys get all excited and you start talking about PR ideas. And then I feel like I'm learning so much. And then she can obviously chip in. And as silly as that sounds, I just think breaking down those physical barriers and actually being sitting your teams together and really encouraging collaboration really helps with that. Because I think in order to have a joined up approach, you need to be constantly sharing data and you all need to be working from the same data. So that's why within all our brainstorms, we always make sure that we have SEO analysis in there. We try and make sure that if SEO want to, they can attend the brainstorms, or when we're having the initial briefing session, you know, they're showing us all the insight. And then just as part of like initial training, when if you have new starters coming into the agency, making sure that they have, like you had from Lucy, a crash course in SEO, because I don't think that SEO should know how to do PR fully and we shouldn't know how to do SEO, but it's really important that we understand why SEO is so important, because then it just breaks down those barriers and we can have those really interesting conversations and we can we can find out data that we wouldn't necessarily have had. So I think if anyone's starting in an industry, they should just make sure that they, if they can, and if their teams are sat separately, that they hot desk when we go back to the office, that they're having regular catch-ups with SEOs, are having team syncs. And I do think there's so much knowledge out there in the industry that if they're following, you know, SEO professionals, they're trying to attend webinars, events like Brighton SEO to improve their knowledge, and also not to be afraid to ask questions or to admit that they don't know. Because I speak to Steve Walker, innovations and technology director, who's an SEO genius, and Dan Nutter, who is also our head of SEO and an SEO genius, all the time. Like, please help.
Yeah, so. I think it's about creating that exposure, isn't it? It's exposing yourself to SEO. I think what I found that helped me was listening to podcasts and asking our SEOs questions. And like you said, following SEOs on Twitter, because they share so much knowledge and perspectives that you wouldn't have even thought of from a PR side anyway.
And there's always something new, like using the same example, but obviously with clients and obviously working collaboratively on stuff like that, I thought I had like an okay basic SEO knowledge. And then when I actually set up my own website and started to try and sell things, I remember being like, Lucy, can you have a look at this? And I really don't know what's going on. She sent me all this list of, obviously it's more technical, but I was like, oh, that really makes sense. Of course that makes sense. And actually having that, something to like methodically work through and see how those implementations can have like X, Y, and Z effect. I was like, wow, my mind is blown. But it is so good in terms of educating yourself. And I think it's so true, like going on about being exposed to it, even within an agency or within the team you're in. Because I think when we move into PR, we kind of obviously early on understand why we're doing it. You know, we understand why a link is worth something and all that kind of thing. But to actually see those implementations and the results from that, I think seeing the full process often is sometimes missed. And seeing that full process, someone that maybe doesn't have that understanding, is so helpful to understand, oh, we do this to help with this result, and ultimately, like, we get this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's so true. I think the analysis that they can give, and we work very closely with them because we have a 24/7 live reporting dashboard. And, you know, we can pull out the data together, but if there's anything that we need to dig into a little deeper, or we're looking at, you know, how are we going to marry up when the coverage and links landed and how this affected SEO, and when we were, everything we do is always combined because it's always showing, okay, our end objective is to drive organic growth. So we have to start with SEO analysis. And then a lot of the execution, obviously there's technical SEO as well, but a lot of the execution also involves the digital PR strategies. Yeah. So when we're also reporting back to clients, I used to do this from previous agencies where it was like SEO update and then PR update. But realistically, it's not. It's the organic growth update. And we start off with, this was where we were with the relevancy. And then this was the recommendations we made from SEO. This was the PR coverage and the links. This is now the SEO results of that. And it's all very intertwined. But that's, I think, how it should be.
I think hopefully, and as we develop more as like an industry, I think that's kind of as well the way it's going. What I was going to ask you, Beth, which I find really interesting to get people's opinions on, is obviously the future of digital PR and SEO becoming more intertwined. And as we sort of lean more towards maybe like brand-led PR activity, what do you think are going to be like the key changes or the key things?
Oh, it's an interesting one. I think the landscape is always going to be continuously changing with journalism, and there'll be a lot more journalists going freelance, and I think it will become, you know, harder in some ways to get the cut through with the coverage. So therefore, I think not only will brands want this, but I think publications will want more multi-channel campaigns, because if they've got video content and they've got assets that they can also promote on their own social channels, I think it is going to be these more brand-led but digital campaigns that journalists can also really get behind, because obviously they're so heavily targeted on clicks themselves, and SEO is hugely important for the journalists. So anything that they can have on their website that's going to keep users on their website from an ad spend perspective, So I think more and more, it's already going this way. But I think video content and really great social content, maybe things like, I don't know, I think TikTok content that they can embed. So I think naturally, not only will we become more integrated with SEO, but we'll also become more integrated with social, with influencer marketing, and other cross channel, because it's not going to just be enough to do a press release.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the relationship between PR and social is one I like find fascinating. I did a couple of talks at the Uni of Leeds, and I did one, I think it was last March, like just before lockdown and everything. And I was talking about TikTok and like how we use TikTok in digital PR. And there wasn't too much for me to say, really. Like, I kind of was saying, you know, it's a platform that, you know, we can get some inspiration on. It's something that we're going to watch. And then I delivered the same talk to the same course in March, just gone. And I was looking through my old slides and I was like, my God, like, I could do an entire talk now on how TikTok is a source of inspiration, like the strategy. Like, we have clients that come to us wanting us to lead their TikTok strategy alone. And I think just being able to adapt to that quickly and understand the benefits of it. Like, I always think, I don't know if you guys have ever had this, but sometimes if you send something to a publication and they're like, oh, we're going to put this on our Snapchat instead of like print coverage or thingy. And I always think that's just really, really interesting, the kind of content that they believe is digested well over a platform like Snapchat. I think looking at the types of content that or put on different platforms as well is always really interesting to like observe and understand.
Yeah, because the way we're consuming the news is like constantly changing. And I think it's important as PRs and SEOs to adapt to that.
I fully agree. I was going to say, actually, as you were talking, that was making me think, you know, people consume the media very differently. And that's why as well, I think video and social will be so big, because people might not be bothering to read the articles. They might just be wanting to watch a social video. And so journalism's going to have to adapt, which will be interesting to see how Google, as I think Google is always trying to improve and become more intelligent. And I think along with relevancy soon, whether it is already, it'll also be looking at sentiment and how positive a story is, or how, because I know there's been examples, I'm going off on a slight tangent, but going up a few years ago, I think there was some negative press for a brand, and it actually ended up improving their rankings.
Yeah.
But I don't think in future that will be the same. And I think it, from a PR perspective as well, there'll be even more importance of making sure that your stories are positive and they're sending a positive message, because sentiment, I do think, will start to play into it. And I would be interested to see how Google then takes into those wider social metrics as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that will be so interesting. Like, we do it a lot actually for like our ideation. We look at, we can track like sentiment across certain articles, and like we can see, for example, sort of as granular as like a certain journalist, the reactions that their articles get on, whether it's like social or whatever, and looking at those like sentiment gaps. So you know that this journalist is actually more likely to write a story that's going to make people feel angry or sad rather than something that's going to uplift them. And I always think as well, a good campaign, like first and foremost, should make somebody feel something, whether it's like a really interesting piece of research that, you know, fills that knowledge gap, or whether it makes someone feel really nostalgic, or it makes them feel, you know, angry about something or curious. Like, they're the pieces I always find that do the best, because you're not just creating content for content's sake, like you're adding something to a conversation of value. So yeah, I definitely think the sentiment will be really interesting if that starts to become more of a factor in terms of like trust and relevancy and stuff like that.
I think it will. Our Salient tool does measure sentiment as well. So I think this will be interesting to just keep tracking that in future and see if we notice, if rankings increase based on sentiment as well. We might be able to track that at some point in correlation.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So what we're going to do, Beth, to finish off, which we do with every guest, We're going to give you some quick fire questions just to get to know you a little bit better, let our listeners get to know you a little bit better. So hopefully they're not too excruciating. I promise they won't be.
I'm scared.
I feel like everyone said that so far. First question, one album you could listen to the whole way through?
The Greatest Showman. I just love the Greatest Showman soundtrack, and it's everyone a at Journey for listening are just going to be laughing and being like, can't believe you admitted that. But
I mean, it's a banger of a film. I love it, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a good film.
I mean, I listen to it on repeat, so.
Anyway. Second question, what would you tell yourself 10 years ago?
Oh, great question. I would tell myself to trust my gut and to trust my instincts and to keep believing and not to be maybe less worried about things and just to go with it and just to believe and push on because, you know, if you work hard enough, it will happen. I think that's probably what I'd tell myself.
That's good. One item you couldn't live without?
Well, I'm absolutely addicted to my mobile phone, but that's a bit of a lame one. I don't know. It's probably going to have to be my mobile phone, though, because I am addicted to it. I'm never off it. No, whether it's on Twitter or Slack or WhatsApp.
I remember I lost my phone on a night out a couple of years ago, and I only went without a phone for about 48 hours, and it was probably one of the worst 48 hours of my life. I just couldn't hack it. What would you say is the campaign that you're the most proud of?
Oh, this is hard. I think the campaign that sticks out in my head that I will never forget is when we sent a diamond into space. I don't know if you're aware of that campaign. Whoever got to find it got to keep it, and then our GPS tracker signal went, and then it got lost, and then it turned up 4 months later on the 23rd of December. It was just amazing. We got international coverage in like 11 countries. It won Stunt of the Year, and then we got amazing footage because when it got relocated, we got the GoPro back, and I actually edited the video, and then the video went on the Telegraph of the diamond. Well, it was a fake diamond on the end of the stick. The diamond was actually in the box, but there was this fake diamond on the end of a stick, which you could see over the Earth.
That's amazing.
I'll send it to you, but that. Yeah. And then the fact that someone ended up actually finding it was a dog that sniffed it out under a hedge for a diamond retailer. It was just incredible. And we won several awards for it. And I just think for the crazier, it's one of those ones where someone came up with the idea in a brainstorm and you think the client will never sign this off. And then the client signs it off and you're like, oh no, we have to make it.
You have to send it into space.
The diamond in the space, into space. Because actually, interestingly, after that, a lot of other people sent stuff into space, so we were one of the first, I think, to do anything like that. And then a lot of people did. I think Yorkshire Pudding got sent up.
There's actually a company, I think, in Sheffield that specialises in sending things into space like that. I've seen. I love a space campaign, so I've actually looked at doing this before. It's mad, but yeah, I love that. That is literally incredible.
We might have worked with them actually. I know we got a weather balloon and stuff, and we spoke to the Civil Aviation Authority. And I just remember I was because I was an exec at that time, and I was back in the office, and every single phone was ringing. My mobile phone was ringing. And it was all journalists wanting to know, had it been found? And I just couldn't believe it because we just had journalists ringing us up constantly. And I was like, this is the dream. People are coming to us.
That was so good.
Which country was it found in?
Oh, no, it was found. It was only, so when it got to 30, oh, testimonial now, I think it was 30,000 feet, the balloon burst and the little parachute popped out. So it only went, I think it landed in Derby and we set it off. It was only in the air for 2 hours before it popped and deployed. But I'll send you the video afterwards and you can have a look.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Thank you, I love that. Next question, what is your guilty pleasure?
Well, probably musicals and singing along to terrible music. I'd say I love musicals. I love watching musicals. I love attending the theatre. I cannot wait to go back. And as soon as the theatre's reopened, I'll be there.
Yeah, definitely. I love asking this question to people, actually, but if you weren't in PR and doing what you do now, what job would you think you'd be doing?
Well, I think actually now I might write a children's book. I've got an idea in my head that involves toucans. And I think I was speaking to someone the other day, I was like, oh, you know, when I retire, I might write a children's book. So yeah, if PR didn't work out, I think I always loved writing and I wanted to be a journalist, but maybe a children's book author. Not that I have children, but
No, love that. I always think that I'd love to like retire early and just like get an old typewriter and write a novel. I'd love to write like a spy novel or something like that. I think I'm like, yeah.
No, I think that's probably quite common with PRs, because I think, you know, we do like, well, I assume like most of us like writing, we like telling stories, so it just sort of fits really.
Next question, what is your favorite restaurant in the world?
These questions are so hard. Oh my gosh. Favorite restaurant in the world. Well, do you know what? I'm going to give two shout outs to Leeds Independence, because whilst I've been to many amazing restaurants, Zucco's in Headingley and The Swine That Dines are two of, and actually The Owl in Leeds are unbelievable. And I just think let's support local businesses. So if you're listening to this and you live near Leeds or you're visiting Leeds, please go to one of those restaurants, because they're brilliant.
Oh, it's out of this world. It's so nice.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely think we need to support local businesses as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need a PR meetup. I think we need to, I can't wait. Because we haven't been to award ceremonies or anything. Yeah. I feel like I've missed seeing everyone and meeting everyone. So I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
Final question. What is your proudest career moment so far?
Oh, gosh. I think launching Journey Further, the organic offering, nearly 3 years ago now, and growing it to the size that we are now. We've got over 30 people in the organic team. There's like 18 people in the PR team, and we're still recruiting. And I've just been, I've loved every minute of it. It's been a crazy roller coaster, but it's like an ongoing proudness. I think just the people that we've got in the agency, and just being a part of that makes me really proud. Yeah. Cheesy answer, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I would say as well, 100%. Well, thanks so much for talking to us today, Beth. It's been a pleasure. We've been so excited to have you on. Please feel free to follow Beth on Twitter. She's at Beth Nunnington. And if you've got any questions after the podcast, we'll be happy to answer them.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe. And to get involved in today's conversation, reach out to us on Twitter at PR People Pod.
We'll see you next time.